This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, April 26th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, San Miguel County resumes distribution of Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Bluegrass prepares for 2021 ticketing, G is for Government previews Telluride Town Council, and a mountain weather forecast. But first, Norwood lost a longtime member of its community last week. John Edgar Colwell passed away suddenly in his home on Friday, April 23rd. He was 78 years old. Crippen Funeral Home will attend to services. San Miguel County Public Health is administering the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine once again, after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Federal Food and Drug Administration confirmed the vaccine is safe for distribution. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Colorado Joint Vaccine Task Force is aligned with the federal agencies and authorized J&J clinics to resume. The U.S. paused distribution of the J&J vaccine after a small number of people suffered severe side effects. San Miguel County Public Health will hold several Johnson & Johnson vaccine clinics this week in Norwood and Telluride. The J&J vaccine will be offered in Norwood at the Lone Cone Library on Thursday, April 29th from 4 to 5 p.m. and in Telluride at the Telluride Intermediate School on Saturday, May 1st from 4 to 5 p.m. Public Health also has upcoming clinics of the Pfizer vaccine for 16 and 17-year-olds in San Miguel. Pfizer is the only vaccine approved for those 16 and older. Pfizer will be available in Norwood at the Lone Cone Library on Thursday, April 29th from 4 to 5 p.m. and in Telluride at the Intermediate School on Friday, April 30th from 3 to 5 p.m. To register, go to sanmiguelcountyco.gov/coronavirus and click on the vaccine tab. The Moderna vaccine will also be available at clinics in Telluride throughout May. Planet Bluegrass is in the throes of preparing for the first Telluride Bluegrass Festival in the COVID, post-COVID era, and festivarians should prepare for it to look different. Bluegrass will take place this year over two weekends instead of one, from June 11th through 13th and June 17th to 20th, with 2,500 people per day. Music will be shortened, with acts starting at 3 or 5 p.m. depending on the day and running to 10:30. And seating will also look different. Gone is the traditional tarp run with thousands of bodies pushed together at the front of the stage. According to Grace Barrett, Communications and Partnership Coordinator at Planet Bluegrass, this year, Town Park will be filled with corrals, fitting 10 people each. A pod, if you like. Those corrals will be festivarians' designated spots for the weekend. When it comes to purchasing tickets for Bluegrass 2021, Barrett says groups can go in and buy a corral for the weekend. But she notes tickets will only be available for those who have rolled their passes over from 2020.
So this is everybody that rolled over their tickets from 2020 and kind of, you know, put that faith in us to hold on to that as we sorted out what the next year's festival will look like.
Those rollover passes don't get an individual in for the 2021 festival. Rather, it makes you eligible to buy tickets. Those 2020 rollover passes will still be eligible for the 2022 festival. In addition, people will not be able to purchase just one weekend pass or a day ticket.
So instead of being able to buy one ticket to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, you can buy one corral, which fits up to 10 people. And the corrals are, depending on the weekend, the first weekend, a corral of 10 is $3,000, and the second weekend, it's $4,000.
Barrett adds this year, children will be included in the 10-person corral limit.
Because it has to do with just the total number of bodies that are in, like, on the field. And so if you have, say, 5 adults and 3 kids, that's going to count as 8 people total, instead of kids being free as they normally are, which, you know, we hope to go back to that as soon as it's safe to do so.
Barrett notes a certain number of those corrals will be held for locals to purchase, regardless of whether they have a rollover pass or not.
Even if Telluride sells out in 5 seconds to those existing ticket holders and not all of them get tickets and they're a bunch of angry people, locals will still have the opportunity to buy tickets.
Barrett says Bluegrass isn't certain on the exact number of corrals saved for locals, but the festival is working to partner with local businesses, which will be the point of sale. Once a group jumps through the hoops to get their corral, the festival ambiance will continue to look different. There will be food, beverages, and merch available, but Bluegrass is working to limit mingling outside of each corral.
We've been testing out a QR code delivery model in Lyons with these Springgrass shows that we've been doing. So in your corral, there's a QR code that you can scan and you can order drinks, you can order merch, you can order food through that QR code. And then someone just runs it right up to your corral, whether that's a bag with like the hat of the bands that you wanted or your drinks or your sandwich or what have you.
When it comes to the music, Planet Bluegrass will be announcing a full lineup in the coming weeks. But Barrett says many folks will be able to guess.
If you could take a random stab at 10 people that you'd think would be at Telluride Bluegrass Festival, you're probably 99% correct. So it's going to be kind of the old friends and you know, Sam and Bela and Edgar and Yonder and Green Sky, and, you know, kind of those traditional folks.
Planet Bluegrass anticipates ticket sales for rollover pass holders to go on sale later this week, with tickets for locals going on sale at the beginning of May. Telluride's Town Council will be back on Tuesday for its regularly scheduled meeting. In this installment of G is for Government, Council Member Geneva Shawnette gives a preview on what to expect. Have a listen. Hey, Geneva, thanks for joining me for another installment of G is for Government.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to tomorrow.
So there are a lot of things actually on the agenda for Tuesday's town council meeting, starting with a really big work session in the morning. Can you share what that one's going to be talking about?
Yeah, so we're going to be just discussing the town's policies and just basically how we want to handle events on town property this summer. Obviously, COVID-19 is still an issue for the whole world, and we just want to figure out sort of what council's appetite and what Parks and Rec are thinking in terms of how to proceed with issuing permits, policies and procedures, and all of that sort of thing.
That is budgeted for a couple hours, so that's going to be a big conversation in the morning. But then there are a number of action items in the afternoon that might be of interest. The first one also was kind of looking at how COVID summer is going to go. Can you share what that one is?
Yes. So our first action item is going to be dealing with public consumption of alcoholic beverages. And that's sort of the idea of that is to spread people out and allow people to enjoy themselves on Main Street outside as well as in licensed premises. So a lot of these decisions depend on what the state is going to allow, but we are going to rediscuss the summer 2021 public consumption plan.
And then after that action item, we have some non-COVID, but still very interesting when it comes to housing. What's that going to be talking about?
We are going to talk about a recommendation from the Telluride Housing Authority Subcommittee. I'm really excited about this item because it's basically going to be recommending to town council the next three properties that we as a town decide to develop for affordable housing. We use an ongoing sort of evaluative process to decide which properties are the best for housing and for timing. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but the next three that we are recommending are the Voodoo Lounge property, which is where the skate park is, and Voodoo Studios, as well as the Tower House condominiums, which are right now, currently a duplex rental property on a triplex lot on Main Street on the southwest corner of South Tomboy and West Colorado Ave. And the third property we're discussing is the Virginia Placer property. Essentially, we're talking about a potential one-bedroom or studio complex behind the Virginia Placer apartments on the valley floor on the town's property that would potentially be available as sort of on-call units to assist with local organizations recruiting or on-call employment for first responders, town employees, and the like. And so basically this would just enable the town or the Telluride Housing Authority subcommittee to put out RFQs for planning, design, and construction firms to consider these sites and start putting together what we could build on them, starting the design process.
That's very exciting. And then lastly, you had some sales tax numbers that you wanted to make sure folks knew about.
Yeah, so we just got in the final numbers for March 2021, which didn't make it into the packet on time by last Friday, but we almost, I think we're just around $950,000 in sales tax for the month of March, which for reference is $100,000 more than 2019. So pre-pandemic numbers in March were really, really strong.
Well, Geneva, thanks for joining me for another installment of G is for Government, and we'll see you on Zoom on Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. We'll see you then.
Those looking to get a spot living in Village Court apartments will likely be waiting for at least a year, if they're not already on the wait list.
There are still approximately 240 people on the wait list. So based on the current regular amount of movement, I expect that if we're waiting for the wait list to drop down to 150 per the new policy, it will probably remain closed for at least the next 12 months.
That's Luke Adamson, manager of VCA, providing an update to Mountain Village Town Council last week. He notes there are some new policies that may help to move through the wait list and ideally alleviate some housing stresses.
In the past, it was impossible for someone to ever take over a lease agreement as a roommate. We recently updated the policy a bit to make it easier for people to get a roommate and to allow for roommates after 2 years to be able to be grandfathered in and take over a lease agreement.
At least preliminarily, Adamson says it's working.
Since implementing this, we have seen an increase in roommates. We've seen approximately 1 to 2 additions per month, which is great. It's showing that we're actually filling many of the bedrooms that were sitting empty here and providing some more housing to people.
But Mountain Village Mayor Leila Benitez says she has concerns there are people living in VCA who may not fully qualify for the deed-restricted housing units.
I became aware that we have some residents that during these times have chosen to kind of do a reverse flee and maybe haven't been living at VCA for the last 6 to 9 months, but they're able to maintain their apartments. I'm thinking of people that are kind of using this as their summer residence, which I've heard from a couple people, and then they're gone the rest of the year.
Adamson says it's difficult to keep tight track of who is at VCA when, noting travel and off-season. But he says VCA staff checks in each year when a resident renews their lease to ensure they are still eligible.
We do verify that they're working. They're currently employed within the R1 school district. And we ask for their last 2 pay stubs in order to help verify that they've been here working.
During his update, Adamson also noted VCA will continue to provide basic cable to residents, a program started at the beginning of the pandemic. It will also continue to provide internet service for families with children in the home. Last year, Village Court Apartment residents created a VCA advisory committee to share concerns and feedback with town council. VCA committee meetings are open to all residents and take place on a monthly basis. The Grand Mesa and Compagre and Gunnison National Forests will be conducting prescribed burns in the Norwood area this week. The burns will take place in the Sanborn Park area, approximately 5 miles northeast of Norwood. The GMUG plans to burn roughly 300 acres to increase resilience and reproduction of ponderosa pines and to protect private property in the area from unplanned wildfires. Smoke will likely be visible from Norwood, Telluride, Ridgeway, and Montrose, and GMUG officials urge individuals with respiratory problems to stay indoors with the windows and doors closed. Air quality and smoke will be monitored, and the Forest Service notes it will comply with state air quality regulations. According to the GMUG, burns could begin as early as Wednesday, April 28th, or as conditions allow. Colorado will soon have more representation in Congress. On Monday, the U.S. Census Bureau announced the state will gain a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives as a result of the 2020 census.
The constitutional purpose of the census is congressional apportionment, which is the process of distributing the memberships or seats in the U.S. House of Representatives amongst the states every 10 years in a way that is proportional to each state's population.
That's Dr. Ron Jarman, acting director of the U.S. Census Bureau, during an announcement of the apportionment. According to Jarman, following the 2020 census, 7 House seats will shift among 13 states, the smallest number of seats shifting since 1941.
6 states will gain seats in the House of Representatives. Texas will gain 2 seats, and Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon will each gain 1 seat. 7 states will each lose 1 seat in the House: California, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia.
That brings Colorado's number of seats in the U.S. House to 8 representatives. Colorado last gained a seat following the 2000 census. Colorado's population increased to nearly 5.8 million people, a roughly 15-point increase from 2010, the last time the census was conducted. The nation as a whole's population rose to nearly 331.5 million people, an increase of nearly 7.5%. It's the second lowest population increase since the census was first conducted in 1790.
The country's 7.4% increase in population this decade was only slightly more than the 7.3% increase between 1930 and 1940.
With the results of the 2020 census and the addition of a new House seat, the Colorado Independent Congressional Redistricting Commission will go through the process of redistricting the state. The new congressional map must be filed with the Secretary of State by December 15, 2021. Colorado will not have to take certain steps addressing low academic performance at public schools this year. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
Because of the coronavirus pandemic, state lawmakers requested a temporary break from some federal performance guidelines, including attendance rates. The state usually has to offer extra support to schools not meeting those academic standards. But because of remote learning and other unique challenges, the government has approved a pause in the requirements. Students will also take fewer standardized tests this year after lawmakers passed a bill to scale them back. The testing and performance guidelines are expected to resume at the start of the 2021-22 school year. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a 50% chance of snow showers tonight with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 30 degrees. Winds could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. Tuesday, snow showers are likely, becoming rain showers, becoming snow showers, with a high in the mid-40s. Tuesday night, there is a chance of snow showers with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 25 degrees. Wednesday, expect a mix of rain and snow showers with partly sunny skies during the day and mostly clear skies at night. The high is near 50 degrees with a low around 25. This has been the news for Monday, April 26th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. And now, a personal commentary.
Attention all parents. Do you want to learn about mindfulness? Bright Futures is partnering with local mindfulness experts to bring you another free virtual workshop series, this time on mindful parenting. Hi, this is Madeline with Bright Futures. Mindful parenting will take place in English each Wednesday in May from 7 to 8 p.m. on Zoom. During these weekly workshops, we will cover health and well-being, parenting with connection, the how and why of mindfulness, and offer a one-hour yin yoga session for parents. These workshops are intended for parents with children age 0 to 5, but all are welcome to attend. For more information or to register, please visit our website, brightfuturesforchildren.org. You can also email me at madeline@brightfuturesforchildren.org.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.